saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Inside Boxing Live. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion, Chris Algieri. How are you, my friend? You're in sunny Florida. What part of Florida are you in right now? Not the docks.
I am in Plant City, just outside of Tampa here at Pro Box TV. We got fights tonight, so nice. I'm doing good. Working a lot.
Yeah, a lot of fights. I'll be on the call for a Boxing Insider show Thursday night. It's free on YouTube. I'm on the call. Chris is doing a lot of different broadcast work. We're busy. We're very busy. Heading to Chicago this weekend for a NASCAR event. They're racing NASCARs through the streets of Chicago.
Sounds dangerous.
It does. Chicago's already dangerous enough, so now we're going to add some NASCARs into the fold. So, a lot going on this week. Can you believe, though, Chris, we're midway through the year. It is almost July 1st, which is the midway point of 2023 or any year for that matter. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
I think that's past the halfway point.
We're past the halfway point? No, we're right at the halfway point.
July 1st is not the halfway.
It is.
Is it?
Whatever. That's the show we're doing. That's what we prepared for. This is the 2023 mid-year award show. We opened it up to the fans. Thank you to all the listeners that voted. We're going to go through it, Chris. We're going to go through all the different awards. You know the awards. And let's start it off with knockout of the year. When I say year, the first 6 months of this year. There are so many to choose from. Junto Nakatani comes to mind for me when he just erased Andrew Maloney, one of the best one-punch knockouts we see all year. Brian Mendoza's, I feel like, was very significant because that was an upset and he beat Fundora. There were some great ones on there. I think I'm going to go with Junto Nakatani's one-punch knockout of Andrew Maloney, which was just picturesque. Type of knockout.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to pick that one. That's probably going to end up being knockout of the year. If we have another knockout like that, you know, before the end of the year, that would be insane for knockouts in a year. But yeah, that knockout is one of the most crippling, nasty knockouts you're ever going to see. And a great fight, too. Junto Nakatani he looked exceptional. Like, it's a very, very tough Maloney. And Maloney came in there. He was coming in there to win and be his brother had just won a world title a couple weeks before. He had a lot of motivation. His twin brother, let me add, had just won. So there was a lot riding on that line for Maloney. He was fighting to the bitter end. And Nakatani put on an incredible performance, was outclassing Maloney throughout. And man, the way he ended that with that overhand left, oof.
Nasty.
Just crumbled. I was there that night. I was ringside. I remember going and seeing Maloney and afterwards sitting in a stretcher holding his son. Thank God he was okay.
Yeah, he's one of the nicer guys. Like, you know, I've met him and his brother and with Top Rank, and they're just good dudes. And that was very, very tough to watch. Like, the
yeah,
knockout.
Scary.
Like, yeah, scary. And, like, because he was taking a pretty sustained one-way traffic. He was getting beaten pretty good in that one, and then it ended with an exclamation point. I mean, that's what the viewers think. 32% voted Nakatani, so he is the half-year award winner for knockout of the year. Gabe Flores, KO over Derek Finley, and then Luis Alberto Lopez had a nice stoppage of Mick Conlon in a title fight. Those are some good ones. This next award is very interesting, Chris. This is moment of the year. There's been a lot of great moments this year. We're talking about a year where we had Tank Garcia, a year where we had, I'm going through the months, like Better BF Yard, Serrano Cruz, Benavidez Plant, Tank Ryan again, Joyce and Zhang. We saw Joshua come back, Haney Loma. We saw Taylor Teofimo. Big fights being made, great momentum. Moment of the year, according to our viewers at home, 56% voted when Spence Crawford got announced. And that's interesting, right? Because, like, I feel like everyone was like, I don't care when this fight gets announced. Once they're in the ring is when I'll be excited. But this just goes to show you, once those two guys went face-to-face and once that fight got announced, people are fired up, 56%. It's not my moment of the year, but it's the fans' vote moment of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good moment, because it really is a moment. It's not an event, right? If it was an event of the year, obviously that wouldn't fall into place. But yeah, moment. I think, like, you know, the Canelo going to PBC was a big moment.
That was in
here
too.
That's not really an event, you know, but that's another one of those moments that you think about, like, wow, that's a huge deal for what's coming down the pike. And then, yeah, the Spence Crawford being announced, like we said, everyone who's not happy about that fight, that wasn't happening, or whatever, as we get closer, they're going to be extremely, extremely happy about that fight. I know I am. I've been very pessimistic about this matchup for so long, but I am thoroughly excited for, you know, what's coming from now until then. Plus, we're going.
So
being a fight week on that is going to be pretty awesome.
Getting a very healthy 13%. The Inside Boxing Live New York City pre-fight party. That's my moment of the year.
I mean, that was an event, but also it was a moment because it was our first. That's my winner, because
yeah,
I had a blast. I got to meet Dmitry Bivol. I got to hang out with my guy Zhang, Big Bang Zhang. I got to watch him lose a thumb wrestling contest.
To
that
Peck.
Was pretty
That might be
epic.
Actually, I need to redo this. That might be moment of the year. Penick Zhang thumb wrestle at the Inside Boxing Live pregame party.
Penick over Zhang.
Never in a million years would you ever hear those words uttered. That's why it was one of the best parties ever. Obviously, we're just kidding. It was a fun night, but yeah. Canelo PBC was on the list that I put on this Google form. That got a lot of votes. Tank Kang, the KO of Ryan. The moment when he hit him with that body shot and he went down, that was the biggest event of the year so far, and it was the biggest moment. So, yeah, moment of the year. You could probably add a whole bunch on there in terms of stuff that happened in the ring, but for a moment, I'm thinking of, like you said, Chris, like, it's not an event. It's like something that happened maybe outside the ring, or something that captivated boxing Twitter or unified boxing Twitter. And to me, it's the announcement of Spence Crawford finally, like, oh, my God, it's happening. And then a week later, they're facing off in L.A., and then they're here in New York. And, damn, it's really starting to sink in that we are getting that fight.
I'm going to go Canelo PBC signing.
Because, huge, too. Seismic.
Because because it has a longer-lasting effect. It's not one event. It's a multiple-fight deal. It's a three-fight deal. And it opens up so many possibilities that, I mean, I was very excited. We did an emergency pod that night. I had a margarita for it to celebrate. Like, so obviously I thought it was a big deal.
Right. Everyone at the office are like, hey, I saw you did like emergency podcast. Like, what happened? I was like, well, it's like literally the nerdiest boxing business thing ever. Like, Canelo went to another promotion. It's like, oh, so what's the big deal? I was like, oh, it means that he's going to fight like the people we want to see him fight. And it's a business thing. And like,
people are like,
yeah, they didn't really fully get it. While we're on this topic, before we move on to our next one, Canelo Spence discourse. Like, I feel like we're riding this bus of Canelo Spence, and like, me and you are the captains, and you're going as far to say that you think that Spence could give Canelo problems. Now, I don't want to speak for you, Chris. Problems doesn't mean he's going to win. He just could give Canelo a good fight. And I just want to say that I'm seeing a lot of people just dismissing this fight. They're replying to my tweets. I see it all over Twitter. This is not a gimmick fight. This is not like a crazy catchweight. Yes, I know they're separated by three divisions, but look at Spence. He is a big 147-pounder. He could potentially fight at middleweight today. Canelo's a small 168 guy. They meet somewhere at 165. I'm talking down the line. A lot of things have to go right. Like, Crawford has to, he has to beat Crawford, Spence. And even if he loses a close decision, I still think it can happen. But to say that PBC didn't at least offer Canelo or say, hey, part of this deal could be a potential super fight with Spence in Texas at Jerry World, you're crazy. And it's not that crazy of a fight.
This fight's actually been in the making for a number of years, which is so funny, because when I first brought it up, again, the interviewer looked at me and dismissed it. He like almost laughed at me. He's like, he asked me, he's like, who do you think would, you know, could give Canelo some trouble? And this is when Canelo was like mowing everybody down. It looked unbeatable. I said, Spence. I mean, just stylistically, the way they match up. And I've been in the ring with both guys. I sparred Canelo and I fought Errol Spence. And I'm telling you, it's not a ridiculous fight at all. You know, everybody's like, oh, but the size. Nah, the size isn't that different. Canelo's shorter than I am. And yeah, I think, you know, he really whittles himself down to 147. He's going to be stronger at 54 and 60. Oh, by the way, Spence spars with the Charlo brothers, always has spars, the guy spars with light heavyweights and cruiserweights. So, you know, the size thing isn't enough for me, but when you look at where they're at in their careers, I think this fight actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Canelo, power declining, skills declining, still damn good. Like, a lot of things have to go right. Like,
he just doesn't throw combinations really anymore.
Right.
And like, what are you going to, you're going to knock Spence out one punch?
That's what I mean. Okay. It's a kind of an even fight, because it kind of like, Canelo's declining skills, just growing older, kind of makes it more of a sellable fight in terms of in the ring. And I just think that if Spence keeps moving up like we think, even that rematch with Crawford has to happen by the end of the year. Even if it doesn't, like, it could potentially, the second fight could be at 154, and then we're looking at Spence just gradually moving up, and then you're looking at Canelo taking his fights at 168, and then by the time, if Canelo can get through some of the guys at 168, which is not going to be easy, then we can potentially see this fight. But to say it's like, oh, just to write it off, that's great. It's really not. It's really not that crazy of a fight.
All right, yeah, a year from now, this is going to be a very different conversation.
Yes, I agree. Let's go over to Network of the Year. This one's an easy one for me. Showtime.
Me too.
They're putting on they're just blowing them away. Even Eddie Hearn came out and said that, listen, this is PBC's year. This is Showtime's year. We had a great year last year. I want to do whatever it takes to try to overtake them. I actually love that quote from Hearn. I don't like all the bickering between Hearn and all the promoters and Oscar and all that. But it's not even a debate. 40% of our viewers pick Showtime, and it won the fan vote. I mean, let's look at it. Benavidez Plant, Tank Ryan, Spence Crawford. Are you kidding me? Those are three of the biggest fights this year. Not to mention all these like championship boxing, Showtime championship boxing cards that they've been putting on. They're doing a really good job for, like, U.S. market.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, it not only is this going to be PBC's year, so is next year, especially with the signing of Canelo. If you sign the face of boxing, you're taking the driver's seat for being the matchmaker, the promoter and the network. So, yeah, I got Showtime too.
Also, like, ESPN's having a very good year. They're just solid. ESPN.
Always a good. I mean, they're always solid. They always every year is good. They put on good fights.
Right. They don't put on a lot of pay-per-views. Yes, Haney Lomachenko was a pay-per-view, but it was $60. And yes, I understand. Even when I ordered it, there was something wrong with the audio, and I was really pissed off. For the majority of their fights are on regular ESPN, like Teofimo versus Taylor was on regular ESPN at 10 p.m. That's huge. You can always count on ESPN to give you like a nice, whether it's ESPN Plus, which everyone has. Inoue Fulton this year will be on ESPN Plus, which is huge. So I would say Showtime.
Also, the undercards of the ESPN fights are good.
Yeah.
The prospects, Top Rank has done a really good job of filling out their prospect group, and they have some really, really solid guys, and they stack those cards at all their prospects. So you get a full card of action of good fights with ESPN. Like you said, they're always solid.
Yeah, I would say like Showtime gives you the biggest events. ESPN gives you the fullest cards, or like top to bottom. You're going to get like a must-watch prospect right up to a good main event. And then DAZN, I feel like DAZN just has – it's just there. Like everyone has it, and – it's very accessible, and they're more of a global thing. UK fights, and everyone has their pros and cons when it comes to networks and promoters, which is our next category, and it goes right in line with networks. I mean, in a business where our networks are exclusive to promoters and vice versa, obviously you got to pick PBC. 42% of our listeners running away with it. We just talked about the fights that they're putting on and the fights they're going to continue to put on. They have their hand in literally everything. Like, even if Wilder goes and fights in the Saudi thing, like, PBC's involved with it. Fulton, in a way, PBC's involved with it, and all the big fights we talked about. What are some other promoters that this year that you first 6 months that caught your eye?
I mean, Matchroom's always a major player. Matchroom USA only launched a couple years ago. They've been fighting to keep up. They had Canelo. They're always planning on doing big fights. Love Top Rank. You know, I think that, like I said, we spoke about I really think the Top Rank is ready, setting themselves up for the future, because the bank of prospects that they've collected recently, they got like all these tough New York guys, like the Bruce Carringtons and these guys coming up, like doing really good. Tiger Johnson's another really, really exceptional guy. So I think that they're setting themselves up for the future. They're always thinking the long game with Top Rank. So I love the way that they do that. I think it's really healthy for the sport that they are able to flesh out those lighter divisions, those prospects, those guys coming up, and they match them tough. So when they actually get to that point, they're going to be ready.
Yeah, for sure. A Golden Boy, was part of the biggest pay-per-view of the year with Ryan Garcia. They have Virgil Ortiz. They have Jaime Munguia. They're always going to be around. They had some of the better matchmaking. They're always putting fighters in tough. They're not the biggest, promotional outfit, but they're in the mix. And then there's like, the Queensberry, there's the Bella Entertainment, there's Thompson Boxing. There's a lot of these small ones that don't get a lot of shine. It's really hard to compete with these top, these behemoths. I mean, look at like a Lou DiBella, who's a very close friend of mine, and you've known him forever too. It's like he has to try to compete with some of these other promoters, and they just can't. Like, he doesn't have a TV deal. It's like really hard to be a promoter. Or Dimitri Salida, like, he's got Clarissa Shields and he's got some other guys, like, but he doesn't have a network, so you're not guaranteed dates. It's really hard.
Well, those level of promoters, it's always like getting where you fit in, and there's just a lot less places to fit in now. So, it's it. But also, there's streaming, so you're able to, you know, get on different networks, make your own networks. Like ProBox TV is another one. Like, I'm here right now.
Of course, ProBox.
Like, they basically just started. I mean, they're not a promotion; they're a network, and they basically just started their own network because you can do that with streaming.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of capital to make it look super legit and look like the big guys, but, you know, it's a smaller, newer operation. So I think with the technology advance and what we're seeing now with streaming and networks, and I think there's more of an opportunity for a lower level of entry for these other promoters and networks to come up and eventually be something. But it takes years. It's like anything else. Top Rank's been around for 50, 60 years.
So. Yeah. You got Overtime getting into boxing. You got,
which is cool.
Yeah, very MVP, cool. Which I worked with Jake Paul, getting into boxing prospect shows, legit boxing shows. You got a lot of pro box, too, and show box. So you can make a case that the sport's very healthy in terms of club shows, and hopefully that continues because I think it's really important.
Which is great because COVID almost killed the club show.
Oh, but it killed the scene here in New York.
Yeah, we're back. Yes. You know, like and club shows are so important. People at home, club shows are like smaller events, smaller venues that usually put on local talent. And they're to build your guys, you build your stable. And the local guys will sell tickets. That's how the promoters usually make money. And they get their fighters and their prospects fights. And they build them into hopefully eventually becoming something on the world stage. But I mean, for the local scenes like New York, I mean, club shows are everything.
Yeah.
I grew up on
Broadway.
That's where we
boxing.
Cut our teeth.
Yeah, I grew up on Broadway boxing. Yeah, that's it's got to come back. Let's get into the bigger categories. Here we go. Fight of the year. This one was the closest of all the listener votes out there. I personally like Haney Lomachenko. In terms of skill level, it wasn't like an all-out brawl. It wasn't a Gotti Ward. But if you're going skill for skill, and I'm not going to let like the decision like hamper what was like a really good technical fun fight. Haney Loma, I just can't. When I look at some of the other ones that are listed, that one just sticks out to me.
Yeah. I mean, that was a fantastic fight. I've always said that. I spoke very highly about that fight because of the level of skill and also just like how hotly contested it was. I really enjoyed the fight. I know everyone, it was marred by the decision or the idea that it was a robbery, which is absolutely insane and pisses me off because you can't have a fight that's that close and call it a robbery. Like it could have legitimately gone either way. I mean, that night in the room, I scored it a draw. So it's just one of those fights. Some other really good fights. I mean, the Mugia Derevchenko fight, which just happened.
Yeah,
that was a good fight. I mean, but there was ebbs and flows. There's back and forth. It was a late round knockdown that got the victory for Mugia. But trying to think, Lara Wood was good. I'm gonna go with Navarrete and Wilson. I love a good knockdown, drag out, back and forth fight with knockdowns are all over and a stoppage at the end.
Controversial.
That for me, I mean. Controversial too. It's just like, you know, like it was a fun fight. It was an unexpected fight. I think that matters too. You get a little more bang for your buck when you're like, whoa, what's going on? This guy's not supposed to be doing this, and he's, you know, dropping Navarrete every turn. So I think that was a lot of fun. And Navarrete's always been a fun guy, but I think now that he's in these higher weight classes, he's actually, you know, in danger.
he's fighting,
not care getting hit.
It's now official.
He's getting dropped by guys who aren't punchers. So. That's my pick for fight of the year. Navarrete
is officially fighting Oscar Valdez August 12th
cool fight.
On regular ESPN. Another great ESPN fight. Some other good fights. Well, first of all, Mangia Derevchenko won the listener vote, but it was super close. Beterbiev Yard came in second, right behind it. Do you remember that? That fight was January, which is got to go
was a good fight.
Really far back. Neary versus Crazy A. That was a DAZN
awesome.
Thursday night fight, which they were just banging. And then
awesome
Lara Wood won, was back and forth until Lara knocked out Wood. Or Wood was winning, excuse me. And then Lara had the Hail Mary, sort of say. Good fights this year. Bronco. I mean, these are all awesome fights. Haney Lomachenko sticks out to me. You can't go wrong with any of these fights. But yeah, that's that. We didn't do women's fight of the year because there just hasn't been a lot. It's more of backloaded this year. Just in July alone, there are a lot of women fights. Bumgarner in action, Sinisa Estrada, Savannah Marshall, Franchon Cruz, DeZern. But if we did a fight of the year for women's, it's hands down Amanda Serrano, Erica Cruz. They broke every record, blood, guts, featherweight records, just standing in the middle of the ring. February 4th. Yeah, they go, once again, you got it. So much, it's like a week-to-week sport where you kind of, you got to just think about what's happening last week and then next week. But if you go back to February 4th, theater, I actually caught up with Amanda Serrano and her manager at the MVP show at Jake Paul, and the manager was like, I told you it was going to be fire. That guy's nuts. I told you it was going to be fire of the year. And just they broke all sorts of records. And so Erica Cruz, Amanda Serrano would be hands down women's fight of the year.
Serrano's another one that I think as she gets a little up there in age and the talent gap starts to shorten, she's going to be in good fights all the time. You know, the Katie Taylor fight was awesome. This fight, which other than her manager, wasn't expected to be that kind of fight, and it was. So we might see some of the best fights of Amanda's career now that she's a little older, a little bit longer in the tooth, made some money now. But good for her. She's earned it. She's been a stud for a studette for a number of years now.
I think Serrano should fight Bumgarner.
Was that?
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. You go first.
Well, I was going to say an honorable mention for fight of the year, the females was Alejandra Guzman versus Ramla Ali. That fight was awesome. Back and forth. Ramla came out to an early lead and you just saw Guzman, who was shaking off some rust, hadn't fought in a while. She's coming off an arm injury. You saw her just slowly working her way in. She knew the game plan. Overhand rights the punch, and it just keeps missing. And then she lands it. And then she lands it again. Ramla's still tagging her. She's coming in. She's cut over the eye. She's bleeding all over the place. Then she wobbles Ramla. Boom, boom. She keeps hitting her with the right hand. Finds the timing for her. Finds this. Then she finds the left hook. And gets one of the best knockouts, one-punch knockouts of the year. And it was by a woman in a woman's fight. So
that was nuts.
That was a good fight. And Ramla tried to get up. You know, she fought like a warrior. No mm-hmm. one can ever doubt that she is a real fighter now, even if she's coming from the modeling world. But yeah, that would get honorable mention.
For sure.
Females to me.
That's gotta be discussed too. It's a little incomplete of a year for women's. Like last year was like the year of the women's fights. I still think there's time for the second half of the year for some of these bigger women fights to go down, but definitely good shout out for that fight there.
Well, July, we have a bunch of good women's fights. So
right.
It's an incomplete year for sure.
Let's go over to women's performance of the year. This one is an easy one for me, and it was an easy one for our listeners, our viewers. 44% of our viewers selected Chantel Cameron's upset of Katie Taylor. Yes. Over in Ireland, no one thought it could happen. I picked Chantel Cameron. I just wanted to put that out there. This is not about me or my picks, but I want everyone to know I picked Chantel Cameron to win that fight. She went into the lines then, Chris. She went to Ireland and went won a decision, and it wasn't like a gift decision. It wasn't like a controversial. She went in there and beat Katie Taylor, and props to Chantel Cameron because I think they're going to run it back and she's going to make even more money.
Yeah, I mean, I think because of the magnitude of it, like taking Katie's O, being an undisputed fight, the fact that it was an upset, yeah, that's the clear winner. And it was a good fight. It was a good fight. So,
yeah, Serrano obviously in the mix too for her win over Erica Cruz. Bumgarner went undisputed this year in that February card. She's back in action. Expect to see a lot more women's fights second half of the year. All right, we're into performance of the year, male. This is a loaded one. We saw almost every big superstar from 130 to 140 fought this year. We saw some great performances. Give me yours, Chris. What's your male performance of the year?
Teofimo Lopez, Josh Taylor. We were ringside for that. The fight was awesome. It was unexpected. Teofimo put on a virtuoso performance against a very, very tough guy who came to fight, and he just broke him down round by round. And I've said it before, when you've got two high level guys in a ring like that, it's whoever can get the first step. And if as long as they keep adjusting and stay ahead, they can make a very, very difficult fight easy. And Teofimo did that night. I mean, it was beautiful boxing. It was a great display of power, endurance, explosiveness, speed, ring savvy, discipline, chin. Josh cracked him with big shots. Tyler walked right, Tio walked right through it. And then it was just like the fact that everyone was writing him off. 21 experts were asked. 21 experts picked Josh Taylor.
Really? They didn't ask me.
Yeah. Teofimo gets the win, puts on an amazing performance, comes back and is now the man at 140, retires immediately, but I don't know if I really believe that, but yeah, that's my performance of the year for sure.
Yeah, me too. 40% of our listeners, he ran away with it. Everything you said, Chris, you said it beautifully. He didn't just dominate. I mean, he didn't just beat Taylor. He dominated him. He landed 40% of his power shots, and he kept Taylor to just 23 punch attempts around. We're talking about Josh Taylor, who's one of the more active guys at 140.
Volume guy, yeah.
Volume guy, and he was bewildered. He didn't know what to do next. And Teofimo just, he took everything away from Taylor. And yes, that one, the biggest chef's kiss on the end of it is that no one was really giving Teofimo a chance. I picked him for a parlay, but I still was very, you talked to me before that fight at our pre-fight party. I was like, yeah, I picked Teofimo, but I don't know, man. You hear, see some of these interviews. Taylor looks pretty loose during the weigh-in. And yeah, Teofimo did the damn thing. Obviously Devin Haney came in second with his win over Lomachenko. You have Gervonta Davis in the mix for what he did, beating Ryan Garcia pretty soundly. Lee Wood for his second performance against Lara, when Lara came in 7 pounds overweight and LeWood takes the fight on 3 months' notice after getting completely iced. So yeah, there's been a lot of good performances in the first 6 months, and I'm expecting a lot more great performances in the next 6 months. So let's kind of, I don't want to be negative, Chris. We're a very positive show here, right? But it was a great year. It's one of the best 6 months boxing has had in a long time, but there are still disappointments. This is boxing, after all. Like, there's always going to be something that leaves us scratching our head or saying, cursing the sky. My biggest disappointment is the heavyweights, and I think you would agree with me. We're having one significant. The heavyweight title was not contested for the first 6 months of the year, and we don't have anything on the books for the second 6 months. They're all dancing around each other. We're talking about a Saudi fight. The entire heavyweight division taking a massive L for the first 6 months of 2023.
Yeah, which is very upsetting because at the end of last year, it looked like we were going to get a ton of great heavyweight fights. And, you know, I always say that when the heavyweight division's healthy, boxing's healthy. But the good thing is that the lighter weights have pulled up the rear and we're having a great year and boxing is very, very healthy, even though we're missing the heavyweights.
Right, in spite of it.
So if we can close out the year and get some heavyweight fights to go along with all these great lighter weight matchups, I mean, this could be the best boxing year of our lifetimes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, it really is. And I've seen some people clapping back or commenting on Twitter or whatever, and it's like, well, how can you say it's such a great year if the heavyweights aren't fighting? I'm like, I'll illustrate it for you. Like, we're getting huge marquee fights with marketable guys at Devin Haney, Teofimo, Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Davis, just go Shakur Stevenson. Like, those are marquee names, and they're all starting to fight each other, or at least circling each other. Yeah, I would love to see the heavyweights fight each other, but they operate in a whole nother stratosphere, Chris. The latest, I want to get your opinion on this, is even more frustrating, is Andy Ruiz wants 50-50 split with Deontay Wilder. I don't think Andy Ruiz deserves 50-50. I think he has some market value, but not as much as he thinks or his fans think. What do you think Ruiz should ask for in a Wilder split?
Yeah, 50-50 is out of control. I mean, Wilder is a massive, massive star. You know what it is? Andy made that Joshua money. And right. A lot of times guys get stuck at a point and they refuse to take a step back. And really, he's been so inactive. Not that Wilder's been active, but Wilder's Wilder. And, you know, he's going to be the draw. He's going to be the A-side. Yeah, I mean, I hate splitting it way too much, but 60-40 would be fair and very, very fair. And honestly, I mean, 70-30 wouldn't be crazy. But 60-40, I think, is probably the best way.
Well, here's my thing. If Wilder is lined up for that fight with Joshua, right, in December, Wilder could easily just sit out. So he has a lot of leverage with Ruiz. He can say, hey, Andy, like, I don't exactly need to take this fight. I want to even make some more money.
It's a dangerous fight, too.
Yeah, it's a dangerous fight. I want to make some more money. While I'm still, you know, in my whatever, I'm still active, 37 years old, Deontay Wilder. But you can easily say to Ruiz, like, all right, you know what, 40%, 30%, all right, see ya. Like, I'll just wait. I've been barely fighting as it is, Wilder. I'll just wait for Joshua and sign a huge deal with the Saudi money. And when you look at Andy Ruiz, what does he have lined up at the moment? Nothing. Like, Usyk is probably going to fight Fury at year's end. I don't even want to get into all that. But, I mean, there's not a lot of people knocking on the door of Andy Ruiz. So maybe 30 to 40% of a split with Wilder is going to be more than 70% of Ruiz versus, I don't even know who else is in the heavyweight division for him to fight. I mean, I don't know what, I understand negotiation. You ask for 50-50, maybe they'll settle on 40, but I want to see Wilder Ruiz. That would be an awesome end, like summer fight, early September fight, like Staples Center. Are you kidding? That's going to be blockbuster.
Yeah, well, that's the game you play with when it comes to negotiating. Like, you risk losing the opportunity, you know? And, you know, I guess Andy Ruiz is willing to do that, but I mean, we'll see how far it goes. Because listen, we're talking big money, we're talking heavyweights. So even 40% of whatever that nut could be is big money, plus what you can earn with a win. Because yeah, the winner of that fight is getting a massive, massive matchup and payday.
That's another reason why Ruiz should take it. Like, you can beat Wilder. Like, it's not an unwinnable fight. And then all of a sudden, you're in the mix to fight in Saudi. Like, you're all of a sudden back on top because he hasn't had a significant win since 2019. So that's just in a nutshell. Like, that right there, that negotiation is just like, why?
But also, even a loss. Look at Dillian White versus Franklin. Franklin lost the fight. Yeah. He got the Joshua fight.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you don't even necessarily have to win.
Right.
You fight well, you still might get that payday. You still might get that opportunity. So listen, pricing yourself out at this point is silly.
Maybe he just doesn't want to fight. I don't know what's going on through Ruiz's mind. Like, he's popular, but he's not 2019 Ruiz. He hasn't done anything since the win. He's literally fought Chris Arreola and Luis Ortiz.
And he got dropped in that fight. That was very surprising.
Like, what are you doing,
for the
man?
Right hand. What does Wilder do well?
Another disappointment for me is Dimitri Bivol not getting a fight in the first 6 months and has nothing on the horizon. Unfortunately.
That one hurts my heart.
Does.
Because it's for a stupid reason. It's for a very, very stupid reason. And it's not fair. And
you're talking about the Better BF stuff?
No, I'm talking about the Russian stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, you know, like, not having an athlete fight because his country's at war. Like, come on.
Well, on top of it too, it's like he kind of bungled the Canelo thing. Well, if Canelo wanted the same deal with Bivol, and Bivol said, no, I want to rework the deal because I beat you. And then it ends up where Canelo just goes to the PBC. Who knows if Canelo really had intentions to fight Bivol again. I think that Canelo came to his senses and they were like, listen, buddy, or his team was like, you're not going to beat him. So go to 168.
That wasn't the fight.
Right. So, but Bivol ends up, moral of the story is Bivol ends up with no fight in the first 6 months, no Canelo rematch. The Better BF fight, which you were alluding to, with all the nonsense going on to WBC, there's nothing on the horizon for him, and it sucks because he is, I think, top five, top seven best fighter in the world today. So that sucks. And lastly, biggest disappointment for me is the poor judging and refereeing. It's more refereeing than judging. Like, we're seeing bad stoppages. We saw one just this weekend with that Lara Adames fight. We saw the Barroso, Tony Weeks. A ton of bad decisions over the first couple months, but the refereeing, I feel like, has been egregious for the first 6 months in big fights too, where everyone's watching, which is not great.
Yeah, my biggest disappointment of the year is Rolly Romero as a world champion. Rolly Romero and Barroso is an absolute mar on this sport. I mean, it's terrible. Yep. The way that that fight was taken from Barroso, who at 40 years old, that was his last chance to be a world champion, a guy who In another era or another opportunity, probably would have been a world champion. A very, very tough guy. Fought the best guys in the world. Came up just short many times. And he had his last chance to be a legitimate world champion. And that was taken from him. And literally, it was taken from him. He was winning that fight. That stoppage was insane. So that's my biggest disappointment. And then on top of that, we got Rolly Romero, who's a weak champion in a really tough division, which is annoying.
Yeah. For sure, that was a black eye. You can't go 6 months without having at least one or two black eyes in the sport. And that Barroso stoppage was one of the worst stoppages we've seen in a long time. And sadly, nothing's being done about it. We've moved on to the next big fight and all that. Let's predict the future, Chris. End of the show. Look into our crystal ball. I got a fun one. Chris Algieri fights one more time.
Ooh.
Pro box.
As busy as I am, I don't know, I can barely string 3 days in a row in a boxing gym. So I'm never going into a fight not in
don't break my
optimal
heart,
shape.
All right, well, this is just my prediction. Chris Algieri fights one more time at Pro Box. He knocks a guy out with a liver shot. Me and Ronnie walk him into the ring. He's wearing a JM on his belt, on his waistline. puts the guy in the canvas. Not only that, after the fight, Chris takes his gloves off, like the Undertaker at WrestleMania, puts him in the middle of the ring. He retires. Ronnie's sobbing at this point. Everyone's crying. Chris's brother's there. His nephew's like, comes in the ring and says, Chris's nephew's a great amateur fighter here in New York. Chris's nephew goes, I got next. I'm going to carry this Algerian name. And then we all start crying. Everyone's crying in the Pro Box Arena. Chris goes out a champion. That's my prediction. I want to see that happen. Damn it. Oh, your mic's out. Oh, God. Go ahead.
Roll credits. That's a great movie. That's a great movie script you just wrote.
The Chris Algieri movie ends. Like, I'm getting teary-eyed.
Stranger things have happened in the career of Chris Algieri and in the world of boxing. So anything can happen.
Well, with this prediction, like, you can control it. Like, you can actually do that fight. We can't control some of the other predictions I have. So it's up to you, Chris. Fair enough. Want to fight again?
I'm going to go with the prediction that I'm going out on a limb here, but I think we're going to see these big heavyweight fights. I think maybe by the end of the year, we might have a unified heavyweight champion.
Wow. Good one.
I mean, it's a stretch. Well, like, maybe not the end of the year, but within, you know, end of the year, early next year. So I think that
pretty much what you mean is that Fury and Usyk will fight this year.
Yeah. Cause Usyk's going to fight this summer. I think Fury, once Usyk fights.
Yeah.
And if Dubois. Usyk wins, Fury's going to come back and he's going to be like, someone else is getting attention? No, I'm the champ. You know, his personality is going to come out and force him out of hiding.
Right. That's what that was one of my other ones, is that Wilder Joshua Ngannou Chisora will happen in Saudi Arabia, but the Fury Usyk fight. Yeah, I don't mind it. The Fury Usyk fight will not happen in Saudi because Fury will not allow himself to be part of, share the spotlight with other heavyweights. But Fury Usyk will happen on a different card, either in December or the first quarter of 2024. But there will be big heavyweight fights by the end of the year. And my other one is that Canelo is going to get knocked down versus Charlo. He's going to win. And then they're going to agree in principle to a Benavidez fight for the following May. It's, you know, Benavidez will be in the ring or whatever, and they'll show him on the board. That's all I got. Ronnie, you got any predictions? What do you think of the year we've had? You've really been in the mix. Like, you're now a new boxing fan. You got to witness the best 6 months we've seen in like 20 years.
I mean, that's just my luck. It's a pretty cool sport.
Prediction?
Another Inside Boxing event.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's another one. One that we can control and will happen. We're going to go on a
tour.
I'm
very excited for it, honestly. I'm looking forward to the next one already.
I want to do a event where our last event we're on our way to a fight. So it was like a pregame. So we all walked over to the garden. I want to do one where the fight is actually on, and it would be great for like an afternoon big heavyweight fight in the UK, like a 5 p.m. start, 6 p.m. Eastern start, wherever at Jack Doyle's, and it's the fight's on every screen, and me and you are like on the mics, and we're like calling the fight, people reacting to like, you know, what's going on in the card. That would be an absolute scene.
I love that. I mean, and listen, if you want that to happen, it will.
Yeah, we're certainly on that trajectory. So it's been a good first 6 months. I think no signs of stoppage for the next 6 months of big fights. Anything else, Chris? You got anything for us?
No, this is a good episode. We covered a lot of good things, and I got a smile on my face because boxing's healthy, and you and I got a job, so that's a good thing.
Right, to work in boxing is a hard thing, and we look forward to many more great nights. And our year end episode in December, where we can go back and look at our predictions and laugh at them. If they were wrong, maybe we got some right. As always, keep your hands up at all times, protect yourselves at all times, and we out. Oh yeah, stay out of those DMs.